Welcome to Urban Forum Northwest with your host, Eddie Rye. We have quite a few people we're speaking with today, but we're going to start off with the president of the Seattle Martin Luther King Jr. County branch of the NAACP, Carolyn Riley Payne. Folks might know that she ran the AXO program for almost 40 years, Afro-Technological Scientific Olympics. Is that it, Madam President?
Technological Scientific Olympics. We call it the Olympics of the Mind.
Yeah, I guess I should remember that since my daughter Angela won a medal, and I know Leonetta Espy, Elijo now, and her son is following in her footsteps. So why don't you just share a little bit with our listening audience about the whole concept of AXO, and I know you've been involved for quite a while, and how do you see it going right now?
All right, well, thank you. AXO is the student portion, the youth program for the NAACP. And what it is the Academic Olympics. Is 32 categories in which students can compete. And the reason AXO was started by Vernon Jarrett is because we wanted to give our students, African-American youth, an opportunity to showcase their talent in other areas other than the sports and give it the same type of recognition that the sports candidates get. And so we give out medals. It's a national program. We give out gold, silver, and bronze medals. When funds allow, we give out scholarships, et cetera. And this year, we are lucky enough to have four students going back to represent Seattle King County. And one of them is very happy, is F.A. that you talked about. His mother was in AXO. So I have been around doing AXO far too long now that my students, children are coming through AXO. But he is a brilliant freshman at Lakeside High School, and he's in computer science. And we have a young lady named Ryan Morgan, who's a senior, and she goes to Mount Rainier High School, and she is a classical music instrumental, and she plays the bassoon. And we have Mahana Cash, who is a senior in vocal class, vocal contemporary, and she attends Diamond High School, and Diamond High School is in Anchorage, Alaska. And Nyla Butler, who is a junior at Federal Way High School, and she's in two categories. She's in poetry written and poetry performance. So we are excited to be able to take these young people back to compete at the national level. And we have a small program this year, but these kids are very strong in their categories. And we have been competitive nationwide, as you know, as far back as when Angela and Leonetta Espy was in the program, who is Effie's mom. We've won gold, silver, and bronze medals all along, almost every year for many years. We have been able to be competitive nationwide. So this year we're looking for sponsors of the program, sponsors of students. The national convention is in July in Atlantic City. And so we are asking people to make donations to the program. And next year, when we come back in July, in August, we will start recruiting students because we want to get have 50 students in our program, 100 students, and we need the community to help us do that because AXO is a program that we need adults. It's an adult mobilization program to help our African-American students be successful and getting ready for their careers and as they move forward towards college.
Well, that's, and once again, that's going to be, is that during the 4th of July weekend, or 4th of July?
No, it's it's 13th of July. No, it's in July.
13th,
no.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, I noticed I got a copy of a letter, I guess you had sent to District Court Judge asking District Court Judge Sandra Mahoney, Sarah Mahoney, to step down.
Oh, yes, Susan, yes.
What was the nature and what caused, prompted the NAACP to spring into action? I know I sent something out on email, a quote that I had from you, but the listeners need to hear from you on what the issues are with this district court judge. And I understand she was a presiding King County District Court judge, and this issue came up, she stepped down, but apparently that was not good enough for the NAACP. Can you share with our listening audience, why is that the case?
Well, first of all, this has been going on now for a month or so, and she did step down as presiding judge. What happened was she was in a conversation, and I think it was more than one conversation, and she used some racial slurs, and she used the N-word. And when it was brought to her attention that that was not the thing to do, some of her colleagues even asked her to resign. When we heard about it, we tried to reach her. We reached out. We could not reach her. So then I sent a letter to her asking her, demanding her resignation, because we cannot have a judge that openly tells us how she feels when she is when people of color, especially black people, come in front of her. We don't know what damage she has done with the number of people that have come in that she has seen on that bench. So she doesn't need to be there. And although we were waiting to see what the judicial committee did, what kind of sanctions or what kind of what would happen to her, we decided that they have taken her away off of the bench. She's not doing any cases right now. So then what good is she? She's holding off occupying the space. We need her to be gone. And so we decided not to wait. We decided that we needed to go on record saying she needs to go. And we thought that she would resign, but I understand she's not. So if she doesn't resign and she comes up for reelection, we can assure you that we will work very diligently to make sure that the public knows who she is, what she stands for, and what her personal opinions are. She took an oath that is different than what she expressed. So she has to go.
Has there been any research done to see if there's a disproportionate sentencing for people of color and black people that go before her?
Well, that's happening now. The judicial committee is doing that, and we have someone beginning to work on that also, trying to get that information to see what damage could have been done with people with black people coming in front of her. So, yes.
And in terms of the NAACP, you guys have, would this go does this have to go to the national office? Is there any kind of national involvement in this issue?
Well, not yet. We thought we would, we're going to see what her response is. As of yet, we have not heard from her. We sent a copy of this to the current presiding judge. I think his name is Michael York. And so we have not heard anything from him or her. If she does not resign, or if they keep her on the bench, then we will, of course, engage the state level as well as the national level at that time. But right now we are at the local level here. We think that we have enough pull, push, and yelling that will make her understand why she can no longer be in that position.
Okay. We've been joined by world-famous attorney Lim Howell. We want to talk to you also, Madam President, about Roe v. Wade and what else is happening in Washington, D.C. But I would like to have Lim Howell, he's been before courts for decades. If he's ever heard of a judge espousing these kind of words outside of Louisiana, where me and Bob Armstead's from, that's somewhere down south. Lim, have you ever heard anything like that before?
No, I never have. I've heard something close to it, where a judge said in referring to himself as a white male in our community, it would be different than, say, a black gangster or something like that. And he was disciplined by the Judicial Conduct Commission. And I think a complaint ought to be registered by the Washington State Judicial Conduct Commission about this individual. They're supposed to investigate it and take remedial steps. But it is so far gone, according to what you told me, Eddie, that I don't think that anything short of her leaving the bench is appropriate. You know, they talk about corrective treatment as they did for Judge North, but I don't think that's appropriate here. I think something more significant has to become.
Well, Carolyn Riley Payne,
she has to be censured and removed from the bench.
Well, Carolyn Riley Payne, our president of the Seattle King County NAACP, has sent a letter requesting that she does step down from the bench. And she was a presiding judge of the King County District Court. She stepped down from there, but that wasn't satisfactory to a lot of people. So the NAACP has asked for her to be removed. But I want to just go into another issue and just talk about for a minute before Carolyn has to leave. And as Carolyn, what is the NAACP and is going to be doing to rallying people to get to the polls to fight this right-wing extremism that we have in the Republican Party?
Oh, well, Eddie, we are going, hello, Lim. You know, Lim Howard is one of our life members, and he is, and we appreciate all of the work that he has done over the years. I just wanted to put that plug in, Eddie. But anyway, what we're going to be doing is we're going to be holding, first of all, we're going to have some town hall meetings and some webinars and some debates with some of the people that are running for office and some of the, so that people will know in the community where they stand and have an opportunity to ask questions directly, et cetera. And we're going to be getting, in the next few weeks, we're working on the plan now. And it's going to be all over King County, not just in the Seattle area, but in Bellevue and Kent, all over, because this year, as we know, is a critical year. Every year is critical, but this year, with the underlying right-wing push to change and go back 50 years, we cannot afford not to get people out to vote and registering people to vote, and that's what we do all the time. We are always registering people to vote, always encouraging people to get out to the send in their ballots, et cetera, and we'll be continuing to do that.
I could also suggest that you contact the Lauren Miller Bar Association and refer to their Judicial Evaluation Committee about the conduct of this judge. And also the political organizations like the 37th and the 11th District Democrats.
All right, I can do that. We have been in touch with Lauren Miller Bar Association on some other issues. I certainly will send them, get in touch with them and let them know what our feelings and what we're doing on this particular on Susan Mahoney. So thank you, Lim, for that that feedback. So as we move forward, you asked Lim if there has been other judges, not in our area that I have found, but across the country. People are now so judges have forgotten, I think. And there have been judges in Denver, in Colorado, I think, and back east, in several judges that have been removed from the bench or asked to leave the bench because of their racist slurs and comments they made. And they are elected officers. We realize that. And that's why if Judge Mahoney does not resign, we will be actively getting out the vote for people to understand.
Well, not only that, we have elected officials. We have a mayor that ought to comment on it, and we have members of the Metropolitan Council, the Metropolitan council and members of the city council that ought to be contacted. We, as you say, get the word out to all of them. There are elected officials, and they should comment on it.
But and some of, I think some of them have, but I think that we there needs to be a collective effort of all of us to make sure that to send the message, and the message would be sent loud and clear, that you cannot, we will, the community will not stand for it, and especially the African-American community. That is what we're trying to make sure, that we get the word out so that our, the African-American community can stand up, send a letter yourself, call, do whatever it is you need to do so that they will know that it is unacceptable. And she has a lot of, she meaning Judge Mahoney, although she stepped down from the presiding judge, and I understand she said that this was, she was sorry or whatever, that's fine. She has a, if she's going to be a public figure running for office, she has a lot of mending to do, a lot of healing to do, in order for her to be effective in any position in public life that she goes in.
I want to switch the subject to DC and ask you and Lim both the revelations that's coming out and all the tapes and stuff. Apparently, Lim Howell, no matter what Kevin McCarthy or the Republicans say on tape about trying to overthrow the United States government, it doesn't seem to have any effect on their base. What about that?
Yeah. Do you know something? When the Supreme Court gutted the Voting Rights Act, the 1965 Voting Rights Act, that sent a big message, because even the Chief Justice Roberts did that. But then when that, the Voting Rights Act was always affirmed and reintroduced under every president, and then for the Supreme Court to have done what they did, and now they can't even get it past the Senate. The House has passed it, but the Senate hasn't passed it. Voting rights are crucial. People died fighting for the right to vote. And I'm really upset. But let's face it, people refuse to realize that Trump and his minions committed treason. They tried to overthrow the government by use of force. And that is treasonous. And everybody, I remember in the old days, back in the 40s and 50s, a book that said, none dare call it treason. It is treason. And the sooner we wake up to that fact, the better it is. And I don't know what the hell is the matter with Garland. What is he waiting for? All of those people should be behind bars by now. I don't know. What Trump does, it's right out in the open, and everybody overlooks it. When he calls and asks for more votes, if that isn't trying to overthrow the election, then what is? That's right out there. The fact that it's out there does not make it any less serious than if it was hidden. But the damn fool put it out there, and therefore he ought to be convicted with his own words. And I don't understand what the hesitancy is with Garland not starting an investigation and prosecuting Trump. But not only Trump, this guy that from the Justice Department, the Assistant Justice Department, who wrote and talked to them, and they had false impersonating state electors. That's outrageous. That's treason. Why are they not moving? And then their threats to school board members and their threats to local officials, those are actionable criminal activity that ought to be prosecuted. And I think if we don't wake up and insist that our law enforcement officials do something about this, then we'll become lawless.
Well, Lim, I want to tell you, Bob Armstead's on the line. He filed a complaint, well-documented complaint. As a matter of fact, Adam Smith sent a letter to Christian Clark, the Assistant Attorney General for Civil Rights. asking her, based upon the documentation that was presented in the complaint to the DOJ, that she investigated. Well, they took that complaint, discrimination against African-Americans in Washington State, and sent it to the Department of Transportation. So, yeah, we have some very serious problems. Matter of fact, I'm gonna send you a copy of Congressman Adam Smith's letter. I talked to Congresswoman Maxine Waters, and it sounds as though she is fed up with the DOJ as well. She didn't have very many kind words to say, but I think Garland is costing us immensely, because by his lack of action, it's causing a lot of Black folks to become disengaged, and that we can't afford to have that happen with the MAGA crowd ready to take over all these states and rig the next election for Donald Trump. So, Carolyn, does the NAACP do anything to fight against this thing?
Yes, the National is very active. We're not necessarily doing anything directly at the state or local level. However, the National is fighting every day, pushing back and fighting hard. And I think that what we need to do as a community, locally and statewide, is that we are going to have to speak up. We have to now. We can no longer let this go. It is embarrassing to not have a Civil Voters Rights Act. We can, if you can't pass that in 2022, then people can do what they did in on January the 6th. And none of them go to jail. None of them. We need to, like Lim said, we need to call it what it is, and call it treason, and call and insist, and have a surge to call it out and ask for action. I mean, I don't understand it either. Why the people are not in jail that were there for January 6th. And I don't know what the magic is in Donald Trump. He's sprinkled with something.
He gets away with murder.
That he can do the kinds of things that he does, say the kinds of things that he says, and nothing happens. It rolls off of him,
it's attributed
no matter
to
how
white
serious
privilege.
It is.
Yeah. A lot of people say it's white privilege because of the fact. Look at all the folks, Lim. I want you guys to hang on, but all the people that were charged in the January 6th attempt to overthrow the government, when they went back to their local communities, those judges let them go on trips. They went to their brother's wedding. There was little to no time given to them. And it's though all these folks are in this thing together. So, but Lim, I want you to hear from Bob Armstead after we take this break. There, as a matter of fact, Carolyn Riley Payne was one of the signatories on this complaint. 21 organization individuals with the documentation proving discrimination against Black folks went back to the DOJ, to Kristen Clark. And for whatever reason, there was never, you know, we received your complaint and that was it. And other than that, it was just jettisoned over to the Department of Transportation. And I said, I thought the Civil Rights Office dealt with racial discrimination complaints. I had no idea that the Department of Transportation dealt with it, unless the Department of Justice just didn't want to have their fingerprints on it, which is sad. But anytime you have a ranking member of Congress, I remember Adam Smith, chair of the House Armed Services Committee, if he can send a complaint in and they ignore him, I guess Black folks don't have very much of a chance. Well, I want you guys to hold on. We're going to take this break because I want Bob Armstead to go into detail about this complaint when we get done, okay? So, Eric, let's take this break and come right back.
Hi, my name is Mian Rice, the Diversity of Contracting Director for the Port of Seattle. As a public agency, the Port of Seattle serves the community, and our investments should benefit everyone who lives and works here. The Port is committed to equity, diversity, and inclusion, and to leveling the playing field. That means continuing to open doors to contracting opportunities to all, especially women and minority-owned and disadvantaged businesses. How can you participate? List your business in Vendor Connect, a database of contractors. Attend Port Gen workshops to learn how to do business with the port. Learn more about contracting opportunities at portseattle.org. For more information on operating a concessions at Seattle Tacoma International Airport, visit lease.ctacshops.com.
Why sit in bumper-to-bumper traffic when you can hop on Link Light Rail and fly by the gridlock? It's a smoother, easier, stress-free way to get where you want to go. Whether you're heading north to Capitol Hill and the University of Washington, or south to Columbia City, Tukwila, and the airport, Link Light Rail will get you there quickly and safely. And if you have an ORCA card, even better. Just tap on the yellow card reader when you get on and listen for the beep to let you know your card has been accepted. Then tap your card reader again once you've reached your destination and listen for the double beep to let you know you've tapped off correctly. To find the closest Link Light Rail station or to learn how to get an ORCA card, just go to soundtransit.org and type Link Light Rail into the search bar. Sound Transit's Link Light Rail. Just another way that Sound Transit is powering progress.
I'm Eddie Rye back at Urban Forum Northwest. We have President of Seattle King County NAACP, Kelvin Riley Payne, on retired civil rights legendary attorney Lem Howe, Bob Armstead, National Association of Minority Contractors. We've been joined by Bill Dickens, and I want to give a shout out, public shout out of condolence on the passing of his mother. I'm glad he's on today, but he'll be leaving town soon to take care of that family business. So Bill Dickens is chair of the Tacoma Pierce County Black Collectives Economic Development Committee. So Bill, why don't you just take a little time, because we were anticipating the in-person meeting on Sunday, and there have been some changes. So if you just want to share with our listeners a little bit overall the background and the concept of the Tacoma Pierce County Economic Development Committee, that would be good.
Eddie, and first of all, thank you for your words of comfort and condolences to me in the loss of my mother. I've been an economist for over 35 years, and the foundation of my economic acumen I actually got from my mother at a very young age, because she instilled in us, my other siblings, the sense of economic independence and making sure that we pay close attention to economic and monetary issues that impact on our lives. So thank you again for that. With regards to my work with the Tacoma Pierce County Black Collective as chair of the Economic Development Committee, we are excited about the work that we are now doing in terms of our promotion of Black businesses in Tacoma, Pierce County. We are going to be starting a new endeavor in a couple of weeks, which we're going to be focusing specifically on looking at ways to identify and to expand Black businesses in Tacoma, Pierce County. We are working with a grant that we received from the Pierce County Economic Development Office. It's a two-year grant, $250,000 that we are going to be looking at BIPOC businesses. We're focusing on Black businesses as a part of our participation in the grant. Other ethnic communities are going to be, you know, targeting their particular niche businesses, but that's what we're going to be focusing on. And we're going to get everything rolling come June 6th, 2022. Excuse me. So that's our main target right now.
And that's great. And the Tacoma Pierce County Black Collective, the chair Lyle Kwasim and Bill Dickens, Lem Howe, both are signatories on the discrimination complaint that was filed by, packaged together by Bob Armstead, who is on the line with us right now. So Bill, I'm gonna go to Bob for a minute and have you comment after Bob, will you take a few minutes and just let everybody know about the complaint? We know that it was sent. Go right ahead.
Okay, thanks, Eddie. And my condolences to Bill and Bill's family as well. November the 22nd, 2021, 21 organizations and individuals filed a complaint with the U.S. Department of Justice claiming civil rights, discrimination, and disparate impact actions against the state of Washington and Governor Inslee. As part of that complaint, we had 30 plus attachments to the complaint. Those attachments included 9 disparity studies, a report submitted by a private consulting firm, reports and documents from foundations and others, all stating the same thing, that Blacks in the Seattle area and Washington State have been discriminated against. And as the result of that discrimination, there have been disparate impacts. Those impacts include the fact, as you mentioned earlier, at one point the CD was predominantly Black. Because of the lack of employment and contracting opportunities since 1998, and a governor's directive that incorrectly directed public agencies in the state of Washington that they could no longer have any affirmative action programs. So they all basically went to race-neutral programs. As a result of that, in those 9 disparity studies that I referenced, and in other disparity studies over the last 20 years, Blacks continue to show up at a participation level of 1.5%, 1% or less. And during this period of time, even with the incorrect interpretation of I-200, there are things that the state, the governor, and other public entities and jurisdictions in Washington State could have done. The disparity studies specifically identify remedies. So Washington State and the governor and the other governors prior to the current governor chose not to exercise any of those remedies. So the Black African-American population of Washington State has suffered tremendously. We received a couple responses back from the Department of Justice. One was an acknowledgement of the fact that we had submitted the complaint. We did not hear back from them for an extended period of time. So we submitted a supplement to that application, identifying additional areas of discrimination and identifying the disparate impacts as a result of those. So finally, we did get another response from the Department of Justice. And in that response is where you somewhat jokingly stated that the Department of Justice basically said that that was not an area that they cover. And since a lot of the examples of discrimination and disparate impacts that we identified in our complaint resulted from agencies within the state of Washington that are funded by USDOT, that they forwarded our complaint to DOT. We responded back to them, thanking them for forwarding our complaint to DOT, because there are things that they specifically should respond to, but also reminding DOJ of the origination of the Office of Civil Rights, the reason that the Office of Civil Rights was created. And the areas specifically identified in our complaint that are specifically in the purview of the Department of Justice. And thankfully, some of the conversations that you have had with some congressionals that support our position, they will write to the Department of Justice and ask them to identify specifically why they responded the way that they did, who within the Department of Justice was involved in that decision-making process, and when do they anticipate actually investigating our complaint.
Okay, I'd like to see if Bill Dickens would like to have anything to say, and then Lim and Carolyn.
Yes, thank you very much, and thank you, Bob, for your kind words of condolences to me and my family. I am always thrilled and happy to hear Bob articulate these issues about discrimination and inequities in Washington State labor markets and the business market as well, because it's actually something that's long overdue. We all know that change comes through agitation first, and we can see the fruit of that agitation that has been spearheaded by people like Bob Armstead. What I would just like to add as a footnote is that, you know, there is another element with regards to the agitation for reducing discrimination and inequities here in our state that has come through the banking sector and specifically through the Federal Reserve Board, which has now launched a new initiative in terms of requiring banks to also promote and being in compliance with reducing and eliminating discriminatory practices that impact negatively on people of color across the country and in our state. We have a Federal Reserve district office right now, backyard, located in Renton, Washington. It's a part of the San Francisco Federal Reserve Bank. And that particular Federal Reserve District Office in Renton is responsible for carrying out the Federal Reserve Board's mandate and making sure that our banking sector is also is going to come in compliance with doing the type of things that Bob just articulated. And finally, there's great news. A couple of days ago, the first black woman was confirmed by the U.S. Senate to be a governor of the Federal Reserve Board. Her name is Lisa Cook, who's an economist colleague of mine. And I was happy that she finally got the Senate confirmation, even though, Eddie, it required a tiebreaker from Vice President Kamala Harris, so she got in 51-50. All 50 people who voted against her were Republicans. She did not get not one Republican support and vote, but thankfully, you know, the Democrats had the majority, and Vice President Harris did the right thing. So now Governor Cook is the first black female governor of the Federal Reserve Board, and she will continue to make sure that the banking system is held accountable and responsible in removing discriminatory practices in money, banking, and credit markets in this country and in our state.
That's good news, Chairman Bill. That's real good news. I want to see if Lim or Carolyn has a comment on that.
Eddie, I'm glad the Black Collective in Tacoma is doing what it's doing, and I'm impressed with the follow-up, but I can't comment on the contents because I have not seen the paperwork. But I think it was very good that they were low-keyed and thanked the Justice Department for having received it, but pointed out how the DOJ has jurisdiction. That was very wise. And I hope something comes of it, because they were just passing the buck onto DOD, but saying that that they had jurisdiction. There may be a lot of overlapping jurisdictions, but I think you should follow up with the DOJ. I think the approach is right. If they say, but we don't have jurisdiction. Yes, you do. Here's what the law says. That's good. They are being represented by which lawyer is representing them at the Black Collective.
Well, no, this is this complaint was the complaint filed by Bob Armstead.
Yeah, he's a lawyer down there.
No, he's Bill is an economist. And it was just talking about.
That's what I thought you said. That yeah. I thought I was listening to him, and he said for 30 years he's been an economist. But
right.
But you have to have a lawyer follow up on it, on the complaint.
Okay, so that's two separate issues, though. One is a complaint, and one is a Federal Reserve he was referring to.
No. But Bill I understand the thing. But you were talking about the complaint. Mm-hmm. I was dealing with the complaint rather than the economic aspect of it.
Okay.
And I'm wondering, do you have a lawyer following up on that?
Well, we were asked to send you a copy of it and see how your time was.
Eddie, I'm retired. I don't. Some lawyers call me from time to time and we talk about things, but you know, I don't have. I'm what they call emeritus now. I'm a has-been.
All right, okay. Well, look, we're going to have to go out. Bill, do you have any closing remarks?
Yes, I just wanted to just assure Liam that Black people never retire. Retirement is really a euphemism for just working in another area. I can assure you that the Black Collective, as Eddie and Bob know, we do have several attorneys who also participate in our meetings, and there will be individuals that will be able to provide commentary when the need arises on issues like what our colleague Bob was referring to. So you'll be hearing more from those attorneys at the Black Collective at a future date. So just swing by and you'll see.
Okay, well, look, I want to thank Bill Dickens, Bob Armstead, Attorney Lim Howell, MWHCP, Seattle Kane County President, Carolyn Riley Payne. Thank you all very much. You're welcome to hang around, because Ms. Kathy Wilmore from Fathers and Sons Together having a big event on the 19th, the 21st. They've been doing some positive things about bringing families together. And this week, on the 21st, is going to be dedicated to a conversation about gun violence. So, Eric, we're going to take a break and come back with Ms. Kathy after this.
Hi, my name is Mian Rice, the Diversity of Contracting Director for the Port of Seattle. As a public agency, the Port of Seattle serves the community, and our investments should benefit everyone who lives and works here. The Port is committed to equity, diversity, and inclusion, and to leveling the playing field. That means continuing to open doors to contracting opportunities to all, especially women and minority-owned and disadvantaged businesses. How can you participate? List your business in Vendor Connect, a database of contractors. Attend PortGen workshops to learn how to do business with the port. Learn more about contracting opportunities at portseattle.org. For more information on operating a concessions at Seattle-Tacoma International Airport, visit lease.ctacshops.com.
Why sit in bumper-to-bumper traffic when you can hop on Link Light Rail and fly by the gridlock? It's a smoother, easier, stress-free way to get where you want to go. Whether you're heading north to Capitol Hill and the University of Washington, or south to Columbia City, Tukwila, and the airport, Link Light Rail will get you there quickly and safely. And if you have an ORCA card, even better. Just tap on the yellow card reader when you get on and listen for the beep to let you know your card has been accepted. Then tap your card reader again once you've reached your destination and listen for the double beep to let you know you've tapped off correctly. To find the closest Link Light Rail station or to learn how to get an ORCA card, just go to soundtransit.org and type Link Light Rail into the search bar. Sound Transit's Link Light Rail. Just another way that Sound Transit is powering progress.
Eddie Ryan back at Urban Forum Northwest. Before we go to Miss Kathy Wilmore for Fathers and Sons Together, we got Carolyn Riley Payne, President of the CLA NAACP, has an announcement. So does Bob Armstead with the National Association of Minority Contractors. Go ahead, Carolyn.
All right. I just wanted to let everybody know that we have the Seattle King County is partnering with the city and the Urban League with the Parks Department, and we have summer employment for 16 to 18 year olds. There are some jobs out here playing $17 an hour. And we go to our website, www.SeattleKingCountyNAACP.org, fill out the form so that we can get you employed, get your sons and daughters employed. $17 an hour, the Parks Department through the NAACP. We have some slots, and we need to fill them because we're not going to give them back to the city. So please.
I'll announce it every week. I'll announce it every week. And also, I want y'all to know this, 2 hours after this program, you can get this program on Alexa and on my podcast 24/7. So 2 hours after the podcast. Okay, Bob Armstead, before we go to Miss Kathy.
Okay, real quickly, Eddie, with Carolyn on and Lim and Bill talking about discrimination, derogatory remarks on the part of the judge, economic development issues, there's a agency within the state of Washington called the Capital Projects Advisory Review Board that I would like for all of your listeners to get to know. And we can maybe do that through you and through others, but that group passes on all alternative public works construction in the state of Washington. As bad as the disparity studies have been against, you know, WSDOT and the others, there has been never, ever since 2005, when this agency was created, any review and any accountability established for them.
Okay. Okay, Miss Kathy Wilmore, Fathers and Sons Together, big event coming up on May 21st. We'll announce it again next week. I'll put the flyer up on my Facebook page to make sure you get equal time. So go right ahead, ma'am.
Well, thank you so much, Mr. Eddie Rye, for allowing us to join this exciting panel to announce our event and on your show. Our organization name is called Fathers and Sons Together. We established ourselves in 2011. We've been doing this work for 11 years in various communities. Fathers and Sons Together is all about building relationships within our families, our fathers, our sons, our mothers, and our daughters. On Saturday, May 21st, we will be hosting our annual barbershop chat, chew, and play. We call it that because not only do we have the finest barbers coming out to cut, we say come out, you know, for the haircut, but stay for the conversations. We know historical values of what the barbershop embodies for our community. So it's taking those beautiful conversations that are inside the barbershop into the community. So we have a host of barbers that will be cutting, and we have phenomenal panelists that will be sharing in an open conversation, powerful conversations that will be youth-led and family-led conversations. Our focus this year is all on gun violence and restorative resolutions. So we will be dealing with a lot of our focus is to help heal those families that have been affected by gun violence. And looking at this whole gun violence issue a little bit deeper, how do we save ourselves? What are the services that are needed in our communities to support those families that have been affected by gun violence? And how do we save our sons and our daughters from the effects of gun violence? So the panel will be shared with Chief Adrian Diaz from the Seattle Police Department. Beloved Office Detective Cookie will be there. Seattle Police Department Officer Aaron Lucas is one of our barbers. He'll be volunteering and doing cuts and joining in on those conversations, along with mothers and community, other community members that will also be sharing in this powerful conversation. So we are looking forward to seeing everyone out there on Saturday, May 21st at the Rainier Beach Community Center Plaza. This is an outdoor event, so you'll see us out on Rainier and Henderson. Come out and join us, get a cut, and stay for the conversation. Of course, there'll be food, music, activities for the kids, and a lot of resources.
And you have flyers out. Is there a website? Any other kind of information that my listeners can access?
Yes, our website. It's a little long, but check us out. It's fast. Like slow but fast, and then fathersandsonstogether.org. So again, our website is called fastfathersandsonstogether.org. Check us out there and you'll learn more about our event and able to register there. Or if you would like to join us, feel free to give me a call. My number is 206-228-6460. Again, that's 206-228-6460.
And what are the activities you guys have going on during the year?
This year is going to be an exciting year. We will be doing a music for change, a walk for change, overnight father and son camp, along with, just conversations, youth conversations, family conversations. You'll see all of our events on our website.
And that's great. And I'm giving Mr. Wilmore my regards. And one of these days, he's going to be on the air as well. But you guys are really doing a good job. I really appreciate the work that you're doing.
So thank you so much.
Kathy Wilmore, I'm going to give you a shout out next week. And as I promise, I will put the flyer on my Facebook page and encourage people to participate. So thank you very much for your time today. We certainly do appreciate
the work. Thank you. All right.
Okay, there are a couple of things. First of all, I want to congratulate the new Kane County Sheriff, Patty Cole Tindall. I hope to have her on the program in the very near future. And Constantine had three African Americans to choose from, and the local sister beat out the two brothers from out of town. A lot of things are going on, and I want to thank everybody that provided condolences, words of that uplifted me and my family in memorializing my brother Jerry last Saturday at Holgate Street Church of Christ. I want to thank the eulogists, my longtime friend, Reverend Greg Alex, Minister Jimmy Hurd, the shepherd of the house at Holgate Street Church of Christ, was very, very instrumental in helping us organize everything. And to that end, I'm going to say that next week, a guy I grew up with is by the name of Ed James. He will have his memorial service next Friday, the 20th at 12 noon at New Beginnings Christian Fellowship. And then the Johnson family, Keith Johnson, he was funeralized March 18th. Everybody know Terry Johnson, Dr. Anita Johnson Connell, Gina, Keith, Greg. So, the point of Black history, the gentleman by the name of Willie Dunn passed away. He was a business guy, was involved in real estate and stuff. But one of the probably most important thing in this article on the front page of the facts is the fact that he was the great nephew of Oscar J. Dunn, who served as Lieutenant Governor of Louisiana from 1868 to 1871. That's when we had like over 1,000 Black elected and appointed officials after the Civil War. But then along came the first Donald Trump and turned the Ku Klux Klan loose and ran the Black folks out of town. And I also want to take this opportunity to thank Port of Seattle's Emergency Contracting Office, the City of Seattle's Purchasing and Instructional Service Office, Sound Transit's Office of Civil Rights, Diversity and Inclusion. I want to thank Lem Howe, Bob Armstead, Kathy Wilmore, and also Carolyn Riley Payne and Bill Dickens for their time today. So this is Eddie Rabb. Be talking to you next week. Now, 2 hours after this program, you can get it on Alexa, on the podcast for the rest of the week. So have y'all have a blessed weekend, and we'll talk to you later.